Good evening, everyone. We are going to now be doing the Bracha Rifo'enu in Shemona Esrei, and with the Aras Kol Seder that we have in front of us, it's page 104. And the Bracha Rifo'enu, as we will see, deals with healing. So let's read through the blessing first. Rifo'enu Hashem v'nei Rafei. Heal us Hashem, then we will be healed. Hoshi'enu v'nei Vashaya. Save us, then we will be saved. Ki silasenu ata, for you are our praise. V'ha'alei refua shalema, bring complete recovery. L'chom makriseinu, for all our ailments. Ki kamelech reifei ne'eman v'rachaman ata, for you are God, King, the faithful and compassionate healer. Hashem, blessed are you, Hashem. Reifei chalei amo Yisrael, who heals the sick of his people Israel. So obviously, we have here a bracha about healing. That's clearly the theme of this bracha, of this blessing. But if we read through it, let's point out some questions. Let's make some quick points. So we begin saying, Rafa'inu Hashem v'nei Rafei, heal us Hashem, then we will be healed. Hoshi'enu v'nei Vashaya, save us and then we'll be saved. So what is the difference? What is Rifo'enu, heal us, referring to? And what is Hoshienu, save us, referring to? Then we say, Ki silasenu ata, for you are our praise. Clearly, these words are where we are declaring that when we are going to be healed, who gets the praise? Who gets the credit? Ki silasenu ata, you, Hashem, are our praise. When we are healed, the praise doesn't go to the doctor, and the praise doesn't go to the medicine. The praise goes to Hashem, to the true healer. Yes, Hashem has his agents, his angels, his agents to carry out the healing, and we should be appreciative to those who have healed us, who have been the agents of Hashem to heal us. We always should be looking for the best agent that we can possibly find to heal us. But at the end of the day, the real praise for being healed goes to the Rabbi Nishalaylam. I one time heard a story. I think it was with the previous Belzer Rebbe. He was about to be operated on. It was about the doctor, and when the doctor was approaching to operate, he sat up on the operating table, and he said, "Doctor, do you believe in God?" And when the doctor said yes, he lied back down. He lied back down. Ki silaseinu ata. The praise goes to the Rabbi Nishalaylam, not to anything else. Now, but then again we say, V'alei refuah shalem alochom akriseinu, grant complete recovery for all our wounds. We just started off with Rafa'inu, right? We started off asking Hashem to heal us. Why again are we saying, V'alei refuah shalem, grant us complete recovery? That's what we said in the beginning of the bracha. Okay, so to approach these questions, let's use the approach that Rabbi Shimon Schwab uses. And he explains in the following way. He begins saying, going through a few verses in the book of Yirmiyah, which is really, and when we read this pasuk, this verse, we'll see how this blessing of the Shemona Esrei is patterned after it. It's just that verse is in the singular form, in the personal form, and we use it in a plural form, in a we form. So the pasuk in Yirmiyah goes like this: Rafa'eni Hashem ve'erafei, heal me, God, and I will be healed. Hoshi'eni, save me, ve'ivashaya, and I will be saved. Ki silasi ata, for you are my praise. So it's the same wording, just that there it's Yirmiyah speaking, talking personally, and here we're talking about many people together. But it's the same pattern, and clearly the words of Yirmiyah are the same, that we understand that our healing will come from Hashem. Rufa'ini Hashem ve'rafei, you heal me and I will be healed. For you are my praise. The healing comes from Hashem. And what kind of healing are we talking about? So we'd assume the healing we're talking about in the pasuk is healing from a sickness, right? That's what healing typically means, right? So Schwab points out, let's look a little more into these verses, or let's look at the earlier verses that lead into this verse, and we'll get a better picture or a stronger picture of what it is that we're really talking about. So the pasuk reads, and this is not a pasuk. You're not going to find this in the Siddur. Okayv halev mikoil. The heart is crooked more than any other organ. Va'anushu, and it's very sick. Mi yadienu, who would know it? Okay, again, the pasuk reads, the heart is crooked more than any other organ, and it is very sick. Who would know it? Now, almost sounds like this Yirmiyah is talking about someone with heart disease, right? The heart is sick. Who knows, right? Some people can be walking around feeling fine. They go to a doctor, and the doctor says you got 3 clogged arteries, right? And you need open heart surgery. I didn't feel anything. Okay, that's what it almost sounds like. But as we read on, the psukim continue, and we see that it's not just talking about a sick heart that perhaps nobody realizes. You know, a sick heart is a very serious thing. It affects everything. But sometimes you can walk around not knowing about it. Is that what the Navi is talking about? On that, the psukim continue. Ani Hashem Chaker Lev. I am God who searches the heart. Boichen Kloyos, who examines the kidneys. V'laseis liish kedirachav kefri ma'alalov. And I will mete out the punishment befitting each man's misdeeds. So now, right after that, after talking about the sick heart, the crooked heart, Hashem says, I search the hearts, I search the kidneys, to give punishment to a person according to his misdeeds. Doesn't sound like we're talking about a heart disease anymore. It sounds like we're talking about something spiritual, something that the heart is leading the person astray. And because of that, Hashem says, I know what's going on in your heart, and because of that, I will punish accordingly. And the pasukim continue. Kare dagar v'lo yolad. A dagar is a type of I think the dagar is a type of a bird. Kare dagar v'lo yolad. Or maybe the kare, I'm not sure. Kare dagar v'lo yolad. The cuckoo hatches eggs that it has not laid. Oysa oysa v'lo mishmat. Someone who gains riches without justice is like that cuckoo who didn't give, bird who didn't lay the eggs. B'chatz yom v'yazivenu, in the midst of their lives, it will leave him. V'achrisei anaval, and at the end, he will be more a morally dead person. All right. So, if we put it all together, the pasuk of Yirmiyah is saying, the heart is sick. I search out the heart. I know what's going on in the heart. And I know what's going on in the heart to punish a person according to their actions. This person is like the dagar, like the cuckoo bird who didn't give birth. His rich, who didn't give birth to the eggs that it laid. That it's upon. That's a person that can be compared to a person who gains riches without judgment, without going according to the law of the Torah or the law of the land. In the midst of their lives, it will leave him, and at the end, he will be a morally dead person. So we see from the psukim that we're talking about this heart that's sick isn't physically sick, but rather it's sick spiritually. It's corrupted. The heart, which represents a person's mind and feelings and emotions, that heart can be crooked. That heart can be sick because there's something wrong spiritually with the heart. It's corrupt. But mi'e de'enu, but nobody knows about it. You don't even realize it. A person can have a corrupt heart and not realize it. They can think they're fine and they're good and they're righteous and they're upright, and really they're crooked. That person is a person who is, and the person referring to is a person who is Aisha B'lai Mishpat. He's gained riches unlawfully. He has broken the laws of the Torah, broken laws of the land, and he became rich with it. He is like that cuckoo bird who didn't lay the eggs. It seems to me there's some kind of a bird that doesn't lay the eggs. However, when it kind of tries to act as if it is the mother. Right, so the eggs are there. The eggs have another hatch. Maybe it hatches the eggs. I'm not sure, but it's really not the mother of the eggs. So when the birds come out, they take a look and they say, "Nish my mama, it's not my mommy," and they leave. So the bird that's over them is trying to act like the mother, trying to own them like a mother, but they realize that it's not their mother and they run away. The same thing. The money that you gain dishonestly is the money that's going to leave you. You've gained it dishonestly. It's not really your money. The same way those birds leave the bird, those chicks leave the bird because they realize they don't belong to it, so too, the money, so to speak, realizes it belongs to this person, doesn't belong to this person, and it leaves that person, at the end he's left with nothing. So it's very clear that the heart that heart that is crooked, that we're talking about here, is the dishonest person. And you could have a dishonest person who maybe has robbed and cheated people and thinks, oh, he's a great guy. He takes the money, he gives it away, he puts his name on buildings, he uses the money to get a lot of cover, to get a lot of honor, and he thinks that he's, you know, good to go, and really, he's not. And it's this context of the sick heart that then Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, after that, Refaini Hashem ve'ei rafei, heal me, Hashem. Yirmiyahu says, maybe I have a crooked heart too. Maybe I don't realize it. And a crooked heart, the example given in the pasuk of the crooked heart, the corrupted heart, is the one that's stealing, the one that's stealing money, doing business in an illegal and dishonest way, and still thinks he's righteous. But you can use that example for other examples of people with a corrupt heart. You can have a person who's a self-entered ego, he's full of himself, he's arrogant, he's haughty, and he says, you know. And at the same time, because he gives tzedakah, he says, oh, if I give tzedakah, I can't be haughty, I can't be arrogant, I can't be full of ego. What do you mean? Look, I give tzedakah. What he doesn't realize is, you know, he gives tzedakah for his honor, so that people should honor him. He's not doing it to help the person. He does it so he should gain honor. But a person won't always realize that. They think they're righteous. They said they do things righteously. And really, deep down, they're not. And Yirmiyah, looking at this person and looking at the fate of that person, says to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Rafaini Hashem ve'erafei, Hashem heal me. I may be the same way. I may also have a corrupt heart and I don't realize it. So heal me and I will be healed. Which means that we see from the context of the psukim that the discussion here is not a physical illness necessarily, but a spiritual illness. And when Yirmiyah says, heal me, he's saying to Rebbeinu Shel Olam, heal me from my spiritual sickness. Heal me from that. Because if a person has a morally corrupt heart, a person has something wrong with their midas, with their character, which is what the heart represents, and they don't realize it, then they're very sick, they're spiritually sick. Because they're going to walk around acting in a certain way, thinking that everything is okay, and they're doing lots of things wrong. So Yirmiyah davens to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Rifaini Hashem ve'erafei, Hashem heal me. Heal me. Help me realize my mistakes. Help me realize if there is any kind of corruption in my heart. Help me if I do have bad character, ve'erafei, and I will be healed. Now, if our blessing the Shemayna Esrei is following the same pattern, then when we're saying Rifaini Hashem ve'erafei, heal us and we will be healed, we're actually not specifically talking about physical healing, but spiritual healing. That's what we're asking for. Heal us spiritually. Okay? That's the first part of the bracha. Heal us spiritually. And we will be healed. Now, at the end, in the second half of the bracha, we say, and grant complete healing for all our wounds. That's talking about physical. So the first request of Rifaino Hashem v'nei Rafei, Hashem heal us and we'll be healed, is asking for a spiritual healing. The next time we say grant Rifua Shalema complete healing for our wounds, that's talking about physical. And the truth is, the two things go together. It's not two separate things. It goes together. Physical illness is a result of spiritual illness. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam makes us sick so that we should realize that there's something, that the same way we are physically sick, we may be spiritually sick. And because of that, it's a wake-up call for us to do teshuvah, to repent. And when we repent, that not only heals us spiritually, it heals us physically. The two things go together. Now, perhaps that two things are supposed to go together. Perhaps the two things don't always go together. There may be a time that we ask Hashem to heal a person, and Hashem heals the person, and we don't see him changing. We don't see him doing teshuva. Maybe he doesn't even realize he's supposed to do teshuva. and he still got healed. Okay, there are times where Rabbeinu Shalom decides that he'll give a person another chance. He'll heal the person. He'll give him another chance to realize, to correct his ways without the sickness. Or as we mentioned previously, if the sickness isn't working, to wake him up and remind him to do tshuva, then Hashem will take away the illness. There's no point of it.
But he says that, it's right after it says, Ki
we'll get to that, yeah.
Right. That's why.
But one second, we'll get to that. Let's work through it. Let's get to that. But the first thing that we're saying is, so again, the way things are supposed to work is that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is giving you a sickness to make you realize there's something inside spiritually sick. You should take that as a wake-up call and do teshuva and repent. That will help you be healed. That will allow you to be healed. It's also possible that you could be healed without that. And we may even actually pray for a person to be healed, even if he doesn't do teshuva. We want him to do teshuva, but it doesn't mean that we're saying to the person, don't be, we're not asking, I mean, but at the same time, I would argue that we still do daven to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam to heal a person, even if he doesn't get the message, because we don't want a person to suffer. And we ask the Rebbeinu Shel Olam to give him another chance, another way to realize, to correct his ways. But essentially, the two things go together. A person is asking, heal me spiritually so that I can be healed physically. When we make a mishaberach, what do we ask for? We talk about refuas hanefesh or refuas haguf, a healing of the soul and a healing of the body. What are these two things that we're talking about? These are the two things we're talking about. These, because essentially they go together. Illness of the body is a result of illness of the soul. And therefore, when we daven for a person to get better, we are asking for them to be physically healed. But knowing that the physical sickness is a result of a spiritual illness, we daven that they should be spiritually healed also. We daven that they should be inspired and awakened and realize the message that's coming to them. So when we go, so the same thing is what we're doing in this bracha. We start off asking Hashem to heal us spiritually. And then we're going to ask Hashem to heal us physically, because that's the way the pattern is supposed to go. We're first supposed to be healed spiritually, then we're healed physically. And even when it comes to the spiritual healing, we say to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, heal us. We can't do it on our own. Especially if we're in the context of what Yirmiyahu HaNavi was saying, that we may be so spiritually sick and we don't even realize it. Then we say to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, help us realize what's going on.
If you're not learned,
yeah.
So you can do all kinds of errors. You have no idea what.
Correct.
What and you're supposed to be doing.
Correct, and that's why we dive into the Rebbeinu Shel Olam to give this to help this person realize. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam sends a person lots of messages in life, and hopefully they get the message to learn. But there are other ways of it. But we ask Hashem, help the person learn, help the person realize. So we say, but again, we're saying, Refa'enu Hashem v'nei Rafei, you have to heal us. And even though we have to put our part, right? The Rebbeinu Shel Olam doesn't heal you spiritually without any effort on your part. We have to put it in our part. But we realize, number one, if we're not even aware, we need to be made aware. And even after we are aware, we mentioned previously, the Gemara in Kedushin says that that El Molech HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oizrei, if not for the fact that Rebbeinu Shel Olam helps a person against his Yetzirah, a person would never be able to overcome his Yetzirah. That means Rebbeinu Shel Olam made a Yetzirah in us that essentially is too powerful for us to control. And the only way that we can control him is if Hashem assists us. Which means that Rebbeinu Shel Olam is telling us, you cannot help yourself on your own. You've got to start, you've got to put in the effort, but you can never take credit for yourself. You still need the Rebbeinu Shel Olam to finish up, to help you be able to complete the process. You cannot overcome the Yetzirah without Hashem's help. You got to start, but you need Him to help you finish. And that it would be included in here also. Refa'enu Hashem v'nei Rafei. Heal us, hear us spiritually. And if you heal us, v'nei Rafei, then we can be healed. Then we have Hoshi'enu v'nivashaya. Save us. So we asked before, what's the difference between heal us and save us? So Rav Schwab explains that when you again, from the context of Yirmiyah, heal us was healing us from things we don't even realize. Save us typically would mean that you see there's something attacking you. There's something you need to be saved from. You say, save me, when you realize you need to be saved. So when we say to Hashem, Hoshi'enu, save us, that means we're asking the Rebbe to save us from what we do realize. If we started off asking Hashem, heal us spiritually, and that referred to, following the context of Yirmiyah, heal us from things that we don't realize spiritually, Hoshi'enu v'niv Hashem means save us from what we do realize that we are lacking in spiritually. Meaning if we know that there is a shortcoming that we have, if we know there is something wrong and we're not doing anything about it, we also again recognize that that is a cause for our illness. And we say to Rebbeinu Shalom, save us. We realize there's a problem. We realize we have a spiritual sickness. Save us from it. And Reb Schwab says, including this, being saved from something you realize is what he is. He says also includes the kind of nervousness and anxiousness and anxiety that a person has. There are certain things in life that cause us lots of anxiety, that make us upset, that make us nervous, that make us sad. And those are, you know, they're physical, they're emotional, but they're spiritual in source. Because if we are asking Hashem to save us from what we realize we need to be saved from, we say to Hashem, save us from our anxieties, save us from our nervousness. So what are we asking for? What are we asking for Hashem to save us? How is he going to save us? He could save us by taking away what makes us anxious. But another way he can save us is by helping us gain emun and betachan in him. If we have the faith and trust in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and we know that everything that comes from is coming from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and it's coming from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam for a reason, then that actually helps us become more calm. It helps us become less anxious. It helps us realize that what's happening to us, there is a reason. It helps us realize that if we return to him, he will heal us. And it helps us realize that the things that get us scared are things that we should put our trust in Hashem and become calm because we're in the hands of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So therefore, Hoshi'enu v'niv Hashem, save us and we will be saved, Rav Schwab explains, is talking about the kinds of spiritual issues that we recognize. And we say to Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Hoshi'enu v'niv Hashem, if you save us from these things, we'll be saved. Ki silaseinu ata, for you are our praise. We are saying to Rebbeinu Shel Olam, there's nothing else to thank besides you. And Rav Schwab points out very interestingly, the Gemara in Bracha says that there is a pasuk of Parshas Mishpatim. The pasuk says, v'rapo yirapo. That means if a person damages another person, he has to heal him. He has to pay for the doctor's bills. So the Gemara says, well, if that is so, then that teaches us, if we're learning that you have to pay for the doctor's bills, that also those words, rapay rapay, and he shall heal, it also teaches us, mikan shenitna reshus l'reif and l'rapayis. From here we learn that a doctor has permission to heal. A doctor needs permission to heal. If the Torah wouldn't give a doctor permission to heal, he wouldn't be able to do that. Why? So I believe Rashi in the Gemara there learns, because if the Rebbeinu Shel Olam sent you a sickness, sicknesses don't come on their own. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam sends sicknesses, then guess what? If he sent it to you, then don't play around with what he sent you. If he wants it to be gone, he'll take it away. If he wants it there, it'll be there. That's what we would have thought. Without the Torah telling us, we would have thought, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam sends you a sickness, wait until he takes it away. Which means, get the message, do tshuva, and he'll take it away. And there will be no human involvement. No, but the Torah says, the Torah, because of these words, rapay, rapay, the Gemara says, no, the doctor has permission. Basically, that means you could go to a doctor to get healed. Make sure at the same time that you go to the doctor to get healed that you took the lesson from the sickness, and he has permission to heal you. So if the Torah has to give the doctor permission to heal, then that means, again, the doctor essentially maybe shouldn't be involved. It's all in Hashem's hands. And then the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, no, doctor, you can do it. That means, doctor, you're my agent. You're my agent. What I should be doing, you do. And that's also a message to the doctor. If the doctor understands that he's only engaging in being a doctor because Hashem gave him permission to do what he should have been doing, then that means that the doctor shouldn't pat himself on the back. The doctor shouldn't take credit for himself. The doctor should realize that he is an agent of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that he too doesn't have the power to heal. The power to heal all comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he is the one who allows and gives the ability to the doctor to bring about the healing for the person to be healed. And this is all part of the message that is here in this bracha. Now, the last part of the bracha, it says, "Kikel Melech Rofe Neman V'Racham Atah." For you are a king. For you are God, Kel God, Melech King, Rofe Neman V'Racham, a trustworthy and merciful healer. So we say to Rabbeinu Shalom, "Heal us," for you are a God King who is a trustworthy and merciful healer. What are we saying there? What exactly are we saying to Rabbeinu Shalom when we say that to him? Yeah, it sounds like we're saying, "Heal us," because you have Rachmanis and have Rachmanis on us. But we also talk about, we call Hashem a Rofei Neman, a trustworthy healer. We also refer to him as Melech, as king here. We refer to Rebbe Shalom as Kel Melech, God who is king. So Rebbe Schwab explains that the name Kel, that name Aleph Lamed of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, is a name that refers to Hashem's mercy. Melech, refer to Hashem as a king. We're referring to Hashem as a king, as one who carries out judgment and power. So we're saying to Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Kikel Melech, you're both. You are a judge, and you are merciful. We recognize here that you are the king, and the reason why we are sick is because we haven't been loyal subjects. And we also understand that at the same time that you're king, you're Kel, you're merciful. Because whatever you are bringing upon us, those ailments, those sicknesses, the suffering you bring upon us, is also rachmanis, it's also mercy. You're not doing it just for the sake of giving us pain. You're not just doing it because you're angry at us and trying to get back at us. You're doing it because this is what we need. It's either going to be a tshuva, a wake-up call, or it's actually going to be an atonement for our sins. Because the more that we physically suffer in this world, the more it takes us our punishments in the afterlife. So when we ask Hashem to heal us, we declare, Kikel Melech, you are a merciful king. We understand that as a king, we may be deserving of the sicknesses, and even if we are deserving of the sicknesses, you're Kel. You're trying to be merciful to us. And because you are merciful to us, you are a Rofei Neman V'Rachman. You are a trustworthy and merciful healer. Trustworthy healer means a trustworthy doctor. A faithful doctor is a doctor who makes sure to do the job. If he doesn't do the job because he feels bad for the patient, then he's not a faithful healer. At the same time, every doctor to have mercy on you, right? You want the doctor to feel your pain. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we call him a Rofei Neman V'Rachman. He is a faithful doctor. A faithful doctor means that what he is doing for us, he is doing for us to heal us. That's what's happening. The suffering that we're having, the sickness we're having, is to heal us. It's going to heal us because the suffering can heal us. It's going to heal us because it's going to wake us up and do tshuva, and it's going to physically heal us. But we recognize when we ask Hashem to heal us that he is a Rofei Neman V'Rachman. He is a trustworthy and merciful healer. Everything that he's doing to us right now, he's doing to us as a doctor. He can be our spirit. He's going to be our spiritual doctor. He's going to be our physical doctor. And he does that with faithfulness, to make sure that we get better, and with mercy, and for our good. And then we conclude, Baruch atah Hashem, bless you Hashem, Rofei Chelei Amo Yisrael, who heals the sick of his nation Israel. So this bracha, what we're coming out here at the end is that this bracha is a bracha that is covering two types of illnesses, spiritual illness and physical illness. The two things go together. We ask the Rabbeinu Shel Olam to help us be healed from both. Now, there is the Gemara says, right, the Gemara says, one who enters to visit a sick person should not sit on a bed or a chair, but rather wrap himself and sit before the sick person, for the divine presence is above the sick person's head. As it says, God will fortify him on the bed of misery. So the pasuk says, God fortifies a person on the bed of misery. The bed of misery is a bed of sickness. So we say that at the head, at the bed of a sick person, the Shekhinah Divine Presence rests. And therefore, you don't sit on the bed, you don't sit on a chair, but rather you somehow or another humbly wrap yourself up and sit before him. You have to, when you sit before, when you visit the sick person, you need to be doing that in a very humble and respectful way. You wrap yourself up. You don't just sit there regularly. You sit there in awe. You sit there with a certain level, with tremendous modesty. You know, when we go visit a sick person, you know, we sit on a chair. We don't seem to do these things. So Rav Schwab explains that this Gemara that talks about that you're visiting a sick person, and we say the Shekhinah is at the head of his bed, and therefore you have to compose yourself, you have to act in a certain way, he explains, you know what kind of sick person we're talking about? The sick person who's got the message. The sick person who, as he is sick, is doing tshuva, he's repenting, he realizes Hashem is sending him a message, and he's repenting, that's the sick person where the Shekhinah is. And that's where, if you visit him, you can't just sit on his bed, you can't sit on a chair, you have to actually sit in a very humble and respectful way. Because on that, by that sick person, the Shekhinah is there. The Divine Presence is there. And therefore, because he's getting the message, and he's taking the sickness and he's doing tshuva. If he's taking the sickness and doing tshuva, the Shekhinah is there. So it's an interesting explanation, because at the same time, the Shulchan Aruch, I believe, says when you're visiting a sick person, you should daven by the sick person, because the Shekhinah is there. So it almost sounds like by every sick person it's that way. But again, this is how he explains this Gemara about how you have to act in front of the sick person, and you can't even sit regular because the Shekhinah is there. That's talking about the person who is sick in bed there, but he's getting the message and he's doing tshuva. In Nishmas on Shabbos, we say the following verse: Kol atzmai say tamar na Hashem ichamaycha. All of my bones shall say Hashem, who is like you. Matzil ani mechazik mimenu, who saves the poor from one who is stronger. Vanu ve'evi migoizlei, and the poor and destitute from who wants to steal from him. So when you read this verse, it sounds like all my bones say Hashem, who is like you, because you save the poor from one who is stronger, and the poor and destitute from one who wants to steal from him. Because of that, kol atzmai say tamarna, all my bones will say, who is like you? Because you save the poor from those who try to rob him? I guess so. But kol atzmai say, it sounds so deep. All my bones, my entire being is going to say, who is like you? Why? Because you save the poor from those who steal. And really, if you look about in the context of Nishmas, before we say this, we're talking about how every part of us should praise Hashem. Every part of our body should praise Hashem. And therefore, when we start talking about you, Hashem, save the poor from those who are stronger, you save the poor from those who want to steal, it doesn't seem to fit into the context of what's going on. So Rav Schwab says like this, the way to understand the pasuk is the following. All my bones will say, Hashem, who is like you. This is talking about how we look at our physical body and we marvel over it. And we so marvel over the physical body that we have, we say, all my bones, my entire being exalts and says, Hashem, who is like you. And he gives an example. And this example leads into the rest of this verse. And I'm going to read it to you. He says, the pasuk begins by praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a healthy body with all its marvelous and wondrous complexity, fairly shouting out to its creator, who is like you. This awesome creation, the body, has a marvelous digestive system, which distributes the nutrients via the bloodstream to its various parts. For instance, amazingly, the body knows that the bones eat calcium, so it sends the calcium derived from the food to the bones. It knows that the nervous system needs phosphorus, so it extracts that from the food and delivers it to the nervous system. The body knows to do it. It's automatic. Furthermore, the body has inherent internal controls that protect the smaller organs from being overwhelmed by the demands of the larger organs. Therefore, the greater demand for calcium by the bones does not rob the smaller organs, for example, the teeth, of their necessary share of the calcium. So when you have a healthy body, and things are working well, you marvel. Look how everything works perfect and how well it works. Okay? All right, that's good if you have a healthy body. And what if you don't have a healthy body? So So that's the second part of the pasuk. Matzel ani, right? Matzel ani mechazek mimenu. You save the poor from one stronger. That means that sometimes the body is out of whack, and one part of the body starts taking away from other parts of the body.
What's the sugar?
Right, okay, whatever it may be, whatever example it may be. And we say Hashem, it saves the ani, the poor, from that which is stronger. Now we're talking about a sick person. What does it mean that Hashem saves the body from that? That means, one second. Right, sorry. The first part of the, I'm sorry. The first part of the pasuk that says, Hashem was like you, matzil ani mechazek mimenu. You save the weak from that which is stronger. That's talking about the example he gave before. The bones are big, they made a lot of calcium. The teeth are small, right? But the demand, but it doesn't come out that because the bones demand are greater and have a greater demand, they're stronger, that they now overcome and hurt the teeth. That's matzil ani mechazek. He saves the poor from the strong. Again, my body exalts and prays and marvels over the fact that within the body itself, there is that system where the weaker is saved from the stronger. And then we say, and Hashem, my body exalts to praise you for saving the ani, the evyon, the poor and the destitute, from the one stealing from it. The one stealing from it is the example of when you have someone who is sick. That person who is sick is called ani, weak, and destitute. He's lacking, he's missing. Because he's sick, there's something in his body that's not working properly. He's not getting what he needs. Even in that situation, I praise Hashem because Hashem is praising, is saving that destitute person. Hashem is saving that sick person from the one who wants to rob him. The one who wants to rob him really means from the fact that if a person doesn't get punishment for his sins, then he's robbed. What's he robbed of? Olam Haba, the world to come, the afterlife. So even the person, the ani ve'evyon, the one who's destitute, he's sick. Things aren't working right. But there's a hatzala there too. There's a that person is being saved also. He's being saved from the one who wants to rob him. He's being saved from the one that wants to rob him of his Olam Haba. The Yetzirah that caused him to sin, who wants to take away his Olam Haba, now that he's sick, that itself is a salvation. That itself is how Hashem is saving him. And again, the person who's going to be saved, he can take the message to tshuva, or what's happening to him, the Baruch may decide, that's how he's going to get the atonement for his sins. But there too, my body exalts and praises Hashem, because there's a hatzala, there's a salvation in that. Hashem is saving him from the one who wants to rob him. The Yitzhar wants to rob him of his Olam Haba, and even when he's sick and suffering, he's being saved from the one who wants to rob him of his Olam Haba. Because that suffering is either going to atone for his sins, or going to remind, to wake him up to do tshuva, and that's going to save him from the one who's to rob him from the ultimate, from Olam Haba.
Nishmas was written by...